Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How about them Aggs taking care of business 38-24 over Ole Miss? And you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. Their head coach, Jimbo Fisher, joins us as he does every week right here on the show. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, not as well as you. Way to run. Coach, talk about running the football in the second half. You ran it down their throats.
Oh, Larry Zierlein called. He's like, well, when you have Jimbo on, tell him that's good football right there, what they did there in the second half. Just love seeing what his offensive line was doing with Jim Turner. So he was all excited, Coach, about the running game. He was all excited.
Well, it is. And then we ran the stretch in the inside zone, which he loves.
Yep, he loves it.
But it was good. And, you know, the first half, they caused some problems. They got some things. We missed a couple blocks here and there on things and just didn't get things squirted in the right areas. And in the second half, we got things ironed out, got control of the game, hit the correct passes. I mean, we had the two, like I say, Kellen played that game. He had the two critical turnovers, which we missed a block on the goal line, which was one that was disappointing on that. We missed a block, but we still shouldn't fumble the football. We got miscommunicating between our two tight ends. Both of them should have blocked down. And then, but we ran it, controlled it. We're really good on third down. We got touchdowns in the red zone. And then in the last 4 minutes, getting the big run to be able to run it out at the end, which is very critical. And, you know, as you know, you can control the line of scrimmage, you know, you're a lot better off.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you're controlling the ball, Coach. A lot of people probably don't know. You guys are leading the conference in time of possession. You're running the ball well, and you're stopping the run.
Exactly, which is the first two things of being able to establish your program. I thought Mike did an unbelievable job on defense because their receivers are good, and we had to get light in the box sometimes because we didn't want to be exposed in all the one on ones down the field. And you know they made a couple great contested catches and made some plays, but where our defense was good again, they did a great job in the red zone of forcing a couple field goals, and we got a missed field goal out of it once, which was critical. And then we were really good on third down. And I think we were 7-12 on offense of converting, and they only got 1 of 11 for a team that throws the ball as skilled as they were. That was huge in the game, getting them off the field, and we kind of combined those things. But the key was being able to stop the run. They got a couple runs a couple times because we had to get light in the box, really light, and their back was actually the third leading rusher in the league. And then, but then was able to, you know, converge still back and make enough plays up front and did a great job in that area too.
Yeah, you know, so you talked earlier in the season. So we went out there and we saw you guys. We interviewed you, obviously, but also Travion. And one of the things he talked about was getting bigger and stronger this year. And he was excited about running more inside zone and stretch plays from on top. So that he just said it's just such a better, you know, your vantage point, your eyesight. From being you know, being a dot or being in a pistol or whatever, but you know, just that spot as opposed to everything coming out of the offset and everything's a sweep. He was really excited about it, and he said, you know, I don't worry about my courage between the tackles. I'm not afraid to, you know, to take it in there. I want you to, can you talk about his? He ran 31 times. That's a dominant effort. Can you talk about his will as a runner? And his ability to make that switch into what you do and to beef up and, you know, elevate his game this year?
Well, I think the big thing that he has, and his greatest quote, I think it's his overall competitiveness and toughness and ability to do what he has to do to be successful. And he works out. I mean, he's a relentless weight room guy. So his body, even though he's not 225 pounds, is still very hard, very, very sharp. And what he does, his vision down, he keeps downhill. He runs with good pace and understands. He just doesn't run out of control. Understands his cuts, jump cuts, gets his pad level, sees the first read and gets vertical and gets north-south. you know, a bunch. And, you know, he has that knack of, you don't ever really catch him sometimes in there, just the crazy hits. He can get that near leg, near shoulder, and get to a power angle and take on shots and get to the edge of you, and it, you know, it doesn't get it. And then, of course, he's a great competitive, tough guy. And like he says, he does. He says, I love being in the eye where I can see everything.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things just from writing these running backs up over the last 6 years, of course, studying, you know, under the Alex Gibbs system and a lot of the zone stuff and stretch things for, I've done that for years and years. But it's really, with running backs, it really is about vision and a feel for run game development. Some of that comes with just having a feel for spatial relationships and trusting your offensive line that what's happening in front of you is going to be executed and finished, and you can't get away from the rush track. You got to have a faith and a belief in the guys up front, and then you got to have, you know, the courage to say stick it and go, and don't and let those guys do their job as you're headed downhill.
And well, and I say like you say, and then the intelligence to know, okay, it's an Okie front, it's a three down front, this is how they're going to block.
Exactly.
All right, this is a stack front, this is an over front. So these are how the blocks are going to line up, and they almost can anticipate the cuts before they make them. When you get with them, or at least where they should be, and their eye, and the big thing I tell them, and I think it's critical in all great backs, their eyes stay very disciplined. They're not all over the place, and they're at the right spot where they can see that, where they know where the junction point's going to be on the cut, and they can get north south, do those things, and how they got to play. You know, it's funny. Marcus Allen came and talked to our team and talked and challenged him about finishing runs every day in practice, sprinting 50 yards down the field. About Marcus Allen said, I knew how what everybody did on every play up front by the front and how it was going to be blocked. And he said, that's why I was able to be a great back. I could, you know, and he said, I wasn't the fastest or the biggest. And as you know, this from the back, I get, you know, Trey gone in a weird way is like Freeman. Sometimes your fastest guys ain't always your best back. It's being able to, those 10 and 15, 20 yard acceleration points.
Yep.
You may not run away for 80 yards, but Trey gone has a lot of long runs. I don't mean that. But those guys that can be patient like that and be in transition in that quickness and burst in the right areas and get through those holes.
Give me burst and vision over speed and power any day.
You're exactly right.
Jimbo Fisher with us on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about Kellen and coaching your faith in him, because he had a fumble and a big situation there. And then the pick. And, you know, and last week that was tough with the Auburn, that pick too. But you sticking with him. And how, as a coach, can you help him cut down on those turnovers?
Well, here's the thing. You go grade the film. He had three bad throws in the game. He missed a slant early. He had those two plays. He graded at 93%. And he was great on third down. And last week we got the pick. But guy, we got to make sure we're getting open in the secondary too, in the thing, and to be able to come back. He just had his elbow too low and had an elbow out, and got the ball knocked down the goal line, and we missed a block at the point of attack. I mean, we missed a point blank, but still shouldn't be fumbled. And the other is a trick play, which we said their corner could lap over, and he held the ball just a hair second too long. But I watched the game. He's controlling the game. The 2 minute drive before the game, he played great in the first half. The second half after that, he's near perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other throw later on he didn't. He was 60-some percent, and the throw he made on the fade on the 10-yard line to come back out. And I'm going to tell you, the best throw of the game was, when you think about it, the next drive after that, we're second and eight. We throw a ball. We drop a drag route for a first down, go third and nine. And we run an 8-pull-out blitz, and he throws a dime to number Jace on the sideline on a vertical. He's the only guy open. The only guy's got a step open on any of our five guys. And he puts on the money, which was as good a big-time throw, I think, helped our season and him, that we went on down and won that drive and then tied the game up. But, I mean, listen, quarterbacks, how they play and why they make mistakes, that's fine. But the other things are doing very well. And also because of his creativity and legs, he helps our offensive line so much and how we get out of things. And I watch how he practices every day, and I watch him have success or not success. And, you know, quarterbacks don't make mistakes at times. You can't. If I would do that, I'd have had to pull Jason out of the game four times. I'd have had to pull the wide out. I'd have had to pull the two tackles. I'd have had to. So we all magnify on the quarterback because he does touch the ball. But at the same time, you can't. Every mistake they make, they can't be willing to get jerked, because if you do, you can't play.
Yeah. And you got to learn. And overcoming adversity is, you don't grow unless you overcome adversity anyway. You're never going to get there unless you experience adversity and overcome it.
We in this society, I said yesterday in the press conference, guys, we make mistakes, and all of a sudden you come back and play well. We don't appreciate how hard that is in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That we underestimate how hard it is to make those adjustments in the game and do what we do, and how we play, and that's part of it. There's no quarterback, you know. Should they have benched Tom Brady the other day? I joke about that, and I know he's not Tom Brady. I'm not saying that, right. But everybody goes through it, man. It's all part of it. It's all part of growing, and you got to have faith in guys. And people say, it's not that I think Nick is a phenomenal player. That's just my philosophy on things. And when I think the reasons they're making mistakes are drastically unfixable, or it's issues with your eyes about looking at rush and not reading coverage and not being fundamentally sound. You know, sometimes there's risk takers. You can say, now, why does he take that risk? Why does he make that play? Because then he comes back the next series. And it's a fine line. You got to have a feel for your players and know your players and what you do daily.
Jimbo Fisher with us on ESPN 97.5. Now, this week, this is historically a week that the rest of the country looks at the SEC and says, come on, really? But I want to tell you, well, LSU's playing Rice, and they're really strong. Alabama's got the Citadel. You got University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB. That ain't no bye week. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's a good football team you guys are playing.
It's a great – on defense. So number one in sacks, number one in third down and fourth down defense. They're number three in total defense, number four in scoring, and number five in tackles for loss. And they're 9-1 and 25th in the country. They run the football. They got a rush that's almost at 1,000 yards, 900-some yards. They've been behind in two or three games, come right on back and play. I mean, beat a North Texas team who beat the heck out of Arkansas. Beat La Tech, who played LSU extremely tough for three quarters, then beat them bad. I mean, this is like another SEC football team. We have to go play. This is a very, very good football team.
Yeah, they're beating people 52-3, 42-0. When they scheduled this coach, it looked like because they're just coming back. But man, did they come back in a hurry with some good football?
You always do there. That school, as I know, knowing my relationships in Birmingham and knowing very much of that school, it always has. I mean, that school has always been able to get players. They got guys, they get kids in school. They're committed to get them there. There's a football haven in Alabama that they it's important there. So, and they're well, and they're very. Bill Clark does a heck of a job coaching these guys. I mean, you watch the film on defense. They're trying to break down where to go on offense. Well, you got that. Well, man, if they do that, that causes that problem. I'm talking about these guys. Are really, really well coached, and they're big up front. I mean, their nose guard 6'5", 6'6", 350 pounds. They got a 6'8", 275-pound defensive end. They got another 6'6", 6'7", in. Another guy inside 320, the back. I mean, these guys, it's a very, very, very good football team.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Coach, you almost, we're heading toward the end here of this season and getting back into the SEC. Of course, you knew about what the SEC was all about from your days at LSU, obviously. But what's it been like being back in the SEC this year for you?
I mean, I love it. I really do. I mean, every week, you're going to have to strap it up and play. The venues, the environments in which you go to, I mean, they're second to none because ball means so much. Ball means so much in this league. And there's not... And I think that's what the difference is. The SEC, it just means more. It does. You can tell that by the crowds, by the people, wherever. I mean, everywhere you go, every stadium you go into. And there's great players. And, as I said before, there's tons of skilled guys, there's tons of great players. But everybody, especially who we played this year, the defensive lines and fronts that we faced has been amazing.
Hey, Coach, before we're about to put you on, can we put you on hold? I need to run in there and just say something to you real quick. Just ask you a couple questions real quick, if that's okay with you, before we let you go.
Yeah, sir, that's fine.
Yeah,
All right, that's Jimbo Fisher right here. Lance has got a little private conversation going on with him, apparently, that he doesn't want anybody else to hear about. Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us here every week on ESPN 97.5.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.